is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker show here on channelradio.co.uk in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews. One of my favourite songs is Whitesnake. Walking Down the Lonely Road. Here I go again. I maybe ought to change the theme tune of this show to that exactly, because here I am again, all on my own, and waiting for this madness to end. But we've got a lovely show for you today. We've got some fantastic guests, and I actually caught up with Jules as well. So Jules helped me with the interviews with the guests, and then Jules and I had a catch-up, which we're going to hear later on in the show. I'd love to hear from you, though, all the folks out there in the southeast of England, locked away in your homes, working from home, or indeed, if you have had to go into work, do get in touch with us. You can get in touch with me in all the usual ways. You could ring me on 01233 220035, or you could email me at hello@bizradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to get in touch and to interact with us live on air is to tweet me at VanillaWeb, and please use the hashtag BBunker so that I can find you. Having said that, we have had quite a few tweets already, and I shall read them out shortly. I just want to say a huge thank you to this week's show sponsor. The Business Bunker Show is really pleased to partner with leading employment law firm Lock Associates Group. They will be bringing you regular news, information and help with employment law, health and well-being at work. And in fact, they will be guests on the show again next week when we're going to bring you an update on where we are in terms of lockdown and all other things related to the world of work and health and well-being. You can find out more about Lock Associates by going to their website, which is www.lockassociates.co.uk, and that's Lock spelled L-O-C-H. Fantastic. Do keep your tweets coming in. As I say, we've had lots of tweets already. Let's kick off with this from Sean Murphy. Sean says, do you want inspiration, collaboration and support? New opportunities to grow your business. Connect with other women, business women in business across the globe. This is an online event. It's taking place. When is it taking place? Don't know. Doesn't. Oh, yes, it does. 22nd of January. At 2 p.m. GMT. You can book by going to hopin.com/events international, but I can't read the rest of it, so probably the easiest way to find out about this is to follow Sian on Twitter, and her Twitter address is Sian, S-I-A-N, Sian A. Murphy. So do check that out. Hold on, I've got... Okay, Media, Happy New Year. Have a great show. Looking forward to listening and hearing from Keith from Telecoms World. We've worked with Telecoms World developing their platforms. And they say, could we have a big shout out for EK Media? We are 21 years old this Thursday. Well, of course you can. That's Brent and the team at EK Media. 21 years old. I know the feeling. Cool. Well done. And as Brant said there, we will be hearing from Keith Bird of Telecom World later on in the show, in probably about 20 minutes' time, in fact. Some other tweets that we've got coming in. The lovely folks at Michael Park Surveyors, they say, we'd love a shout-out, Paul. Here's some background info again for reference. Have a super day to everyone who listens in and to you. Well, thank you very much. And they say, do you have grand plans for your property in 2021? Talk to Michael Parks now to make sure you take the right path along a sometimes winding and bumpy road. They are independent chartered surveyors, local based in Rochester. They offer pre-planning advice, planning drawings, planning applications and appeals, supporting statements, planning enforcement matters, discharge of planning conditions, projects large and small. And you can find out about them by going to their website, which is Michael Parks, and that's Parks spelt P-A-R-K-E-S. Yes, michaelparks.co.uk, or you can call them on Medway, 01634 294 994. That's 01634 294 994. So follow them on the Twitter, MPSL on Twitter. Michael Park Surveyors, do check that out. Cool, good. Right, where are we now? Hold on, I've lost my place. I shouldn't have done that. I pressed the button on the phone and it all went away. So who else have we got on the Twitter? Jules is sending me a picture of her dog, which isn't very useful right now. Athel Bray, hello Business Bunker. We still have spaces available for the webinar, free sessions on the 9th of February with Andy Styles on GDPR and Brexit. Book with an email to Fran, F-R-A-N, at athelbray.co.uk. That's Athelbray, A-T-H-E-L-B-R-A-E.co.uk. Fran at athelbray.co.uk. Drop an email and book your place on the GDPR and Brexit seminar with Andy Styles. And they say, thank you for publishing our blogs for us. We always appreciate the support from the Bunker team for all the Kent businesses. No, it's an absolute pleasure. And I just, it's a point that I don't really make very often as well. We've got something like 2,500 blogs now on the Kent Business Radio website. They're all fairly much, just about all of them, but 99% of them are business orientated and aimed at small and medium sized businesses, and they're provided by a whole range of different experts in their field, and there's some fantastic blogs there with guidance, and they're all very simple, all very short, all very quick reads, just giving you pointers, highlights and guides to various things around the business environment. And the lovely folks at Athel Bray provided a whole series, I think there's 8 of them now, of blogs on their reflections and views and issues around the whole locked-in scenario. And so there are 8 blogs, very, very worth reading, all incredibly popular blogs. So do check them out. You can find them all by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk and then clicking on the tab on the top of the website that says blogs. And there's also a whole range of blogs from the FSB, so there's a tab for that too, which is FSB, surprisingly. So check the website out, have a look, and read some of those blogs. I mean, you'll see, I tweet them every day anyway. I tweet out blogs every day. Because they're interesting, but as I say, there's over 200,000 blogs on there now, so there's a lot of reading to do if you want to read them all, but they are all certainly worthwhile. I do remove some of the older ones that, you know, get past their sell by date and become no longer relevant, but you know, the vast majority of them on there are still incredibly relevant and offer really useful insights into various areas of business activity. I've had a tweet from Natalie and the lovely folks at Whitcomb HR, and they say, wow, can't believe it's Tuesday again. We're listening to Vanilla Web, the Business Bunker radio show. Have a great show. Thank you very much. That's all the folks at Whitcomb HR. And Linda Garcia, Alongside Consulting. She says, I might even have a spare moment to listen in today. Can you shout out details of a virtual workshop I'm hosting on the 29th of January? And the workshop is entitled Find More Time to Make More Money. Oh, I think we all need that. And the details can be found at Eventbrite. See, I hate doing this. You click on it and then Eventbrite won't show you the whole link. No, see, they don't. It's really a real nuisance. It's a real failing of Eventbrite and things like that, because they don't show you the whole link. So what you're going to have to do is follow Linda on Le Twitter and then find the whole link to that if you want to book your place on it. And Linda's Twitter handle is Alluxi. See, I can't find that now either, for goodness sake. A-L-L-U-X-I. Alluxi Consults is the Twitter handle, A-L-L-U-X-I Consults, all one word, and find out about their Eventbrite thing. It starts eventbrite.co.uk/free-up-time, but I don't know what the rest of it is, and when you click on the link, it doesn't show you, and that's not Linda's problem, that's Eventbrite. They're terrible at showing their links, but check it out. It sounds like a really interesting workshop. I might go to that myself, actually. 29th of January, sounds interesting. The lovely Kim Stevens, Care in Kent. I'd love a shout out on the Business Bunker for all the Care in Kent home workers in Ashford and Folkestone. A massive thank you to our Care in Kent teams for their outstanding care and devotion every single day. If you see us out and about, give us a wave. Stay safe. And that's Kim. Lovely Kim Stevens from Care in Kent. Terry Botfield, this is your last chance to book the Marsh Network online tomorrow at 10:30 a.m. That's 20th of January, mañana, to ensure your place. Special offer, anyone attending the meeting for the first time can come free. And to arrange that, you need to email Terry. And you can do that by emailing Terry at Botfield, B-O-T-F-I-E-L-D, Terry at Botfield.net. Cool. So check that out. Okay. This there's been some chat about this on Twitter and other social media platforms over the last couple of weeks, and there was a little bit of confusion over it because some people thought this was Disney, and it's not Disney. But there's set to be a unique and groundbreaking world-class destination, the London Resort, and it's one of the most ambitious projects in Europe, and they've now submitted its planning application submission to the government. If the application is successful in securing development consent, construction on the London Resort would begin in 2022, with a plan to be open by 2024. The London Resort's detailed planning application confirms the scale and ambition of the team behind the world-class, sustainable, next-generation entertainment resort. The plans are to develop two theme park gates, a water park, a conference and a convention centre, and an e-sports facility. More than 3,500 hotel rooms will also be created. In addition, there will be two ferry terminals, one each side of the River Thames. They'll be built along with back-of-house facilities, a visitor centre and a brand new road entering the site from the A2. The vast majority of the materials, this is really interesting, this bit, the vast majority of the materials required to construct the resort will be delivered by river. So they're going to sail it up the Medway and the Thames. The London Resort will be a world-leading resort and theme park destination, and as such will mark a step change in leisure and entertainment provision in the UK. It will be one of the world's largest immersive experience centres in the world. The first theme park gate will open in 2024 and the second within 5 years by 2029. The London Resort's themed lands will be these. The theme park will have six themed lands. These are the studios, a modern-day warehouse district inspired by blockbuster movies, the woods, which is an enchanted realm influenced by fables and fairy tales, the kingdom, swords, sorcery, dragons and Arthurian legend, the Isles, giant creatures, mythical beasts and jaw-dropping architecture. And then lastly, the jungle. Oh no, not lastly, the jungle, ancient ruins of long-lost Mesoamerican civilization. And lastly, the Starport, a sci-fi 23rd century landing zone. So wow, if that goes ahead, that's going to be absolutely massive and have a profound effect on Kent, South London and that entire area. Obviously, it's going to create a huge number of jobs, initially in construction and then in operation. And it's also going to generate a lot of tourism into Kent and London, I would imagine. So let's see what happens with that. It was originally termed the Paramount Park, but I think it's the same plan but without Paramount Studios are no longer partners in it, and now it's the London Resort Company. So good stuff. I've had a tweet from lovely Martin at Charity Buddy. He says, have a great show, I'm doing homeschooling and I'm sure my wife and I have aged 10 years. I know the feeling. I do know the feeling, Martin, and I feel for you and Mrs. Reeves. It is hard. It's tough on people trying to work from home, trying to look after their children, trying to homeschool, worried about, you know, everything that's going on. It's very difficult times that we're living in, and we all need to support each other. Reaching out to you, Martin, and hope you're getting by okay. It's no good asking me to help with homework, though. I'm useless at that. Okay, the University of Kent have announced a Recovery Innovation Fund. The Recovery Innovation Fund can provide your small or medium-sized business, including third sector businesses or third sector organisations, with up to £7,500 to engage with Kent's expertise, with the opportunity to foster a long-term partnership. You will get tailored advice and support from one of our academic experts relevant to your business needs. If you want to find out more, you can find out all about it, what it's all about, who's involved and how to apply by going to www.kent.ac.uk/enterprise/COVID support. That's kent.ac.uk/enterprise/ COVID support. Okay, let's have some cheesy tunage. I think it's time for that now.
I'm in the phone booth.
The Stonkin' the Awesome, Debbie Harry there, hanging on the telephone. Don't know how I thought of that. We caught up, Jules and I caught up with Keith Bird of Telecoms World. Let's hear what Keith had to say.
It's an absolute pleasure now to welcome onto the Business Bunker show for the very first time, Mr. Keith Bird of Telecoms World. Keith, welcome to the Business Bunker show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Paul. Pleasure to be here.
It's great to hear from you. Why don't we kick off by you telling us a little bit about Keith and then a little bit about your business?
Okay, a little bit about me. All right, so it'd be like a dating, it'd be like a dating website.
Yeah, exactly. We need to check you out, mate.
Yeah, yes. Dating. I'll tell him for the ladies. Are you married? Because you've got the lovely baby photos in the background. I do love to voyeur when I'm on a Zoom and look at the background. So you've got a little baby on your wall and a lovely lady.
They're not so little anymore. 17 and 18, both right. Mine. But yes, I am married. Yeah. So. Yeah, but of course I've got them all stuck at home, like most people at the moment, really. So yeah. So
how's that going for you working from home, Keith? I suppose in the telecoms business, you've got a bit of help.
Yeah, I'd have to say, Jules, you know, we've been very fortunate for one that, you know, clearly we're in a business that helps during this difficult period for everyone. For us, we've adapted amazingly quickly. I'd have to say, you know, I'm early 50s now, and I've always loved the handset, but now I've been working remotely for if you'd asked me this time last year whether I'd ever do without a handset, my answer would have been no way. You know, I love just picking up the phone, but we've been working through headsets remotely, and even with the periods when I went back into the office, I did the same. Actually, it's amazing what you get used to, isn't it? So
I'll tell you a funny story about that from the first lockdown. I got an email from BT saying, do you want to renew your contract and do this, that and the other? If you do and you'd like to take up some offer they were offering, ring our call centre. So I rang the call centre and I got through. A lady answered the phone and I said, right, I've had this email and I want to do this. And she said, oh, I can't do that. I went, why not? She said, well, we were all working from home now. And I went, yeah. And she said, yeah, well, unfortunately, I'm on a BT service and it won't let me do that. Really? Really?
Now's your chance, Keith, to be a bit catty. Yeah.
So anyway, let's start where I started, ask you to tell us what you do.
Yeah. Okay.
Apart from the fat listener that he's got a lovely dark teal back wall behind him.
Oh, for goodness sake, let the man speak.
He's got a statement wall, which I do love.
I've asked Keith this question three times, and every time I ask him, Jules starts going on about his decoration.
Yeah, it's nice.
Well, clearly it's a lifestyle decoration show rather than a business show, so I'm much more happy to talk about that. Okay, but briefly about me, I'm not going to bore the listeners too much about me, but my background is always been in sales, really. Started off particularly in the city, working in print rooms in the city, really, before anyone knew what the city was, really. If I'd known that, of course, I'd have become a broker or something like that, and now would be in the Caribbean rather than speaking to you guys. So that was my background in corporate sales. I got involved with Telecoms World about 12, 13 years ago now. The owner, Dave, is a personal friend of mine, and it's a really sort of nice Kent, if you like, story. It's been going since 2002, the business. It's a family-run business, started by a husband and wife, run now by the owner's brother-in-law. The owner's children are involved with the business, so it's quite a warm, friendly, really nice business, yeah, really, to be honest. So
we need to ask Dave's surname, please.
Noble. Dave Noble.
Is he noble?
Yes. Very noble. Yes, very, very noble. So so my background very much was when the company started in 2002, but they, you know, were working on what we call sort of smallest type businesses, if you like, sole traders, which is still part of our remit now, but the natural course of that was we got more corporate business coming in the door, and I became involved with trying to build on that and help with that, really. So printing was having a bit of a change then, and it was just time to move on, yeah, and do something different. And it's been a really enjoyable ride, really, you know. So I don't miss the commute up to London. I didn't for a long time. And I think there's something really nice about working for. I always work for quite big organisations, you know. And it's something quite nice for working for a smaller organisation, more of a family feel and more contribution. I think, if you like.
Okay. What exactly, Keith, are you selling?
Oh, now there's a question. There's anything anyone's buying, really?
I need an organic lettuce. Any good?
I'll source that for you, certainly. Okay, so to make it really simple, if you like, our client base is into three areas. If you like, we sort of have it what we call our SOHO, the sole trader, home working businesses. Then there's SMEs, as you would know, the small, medium-sized enterprises, up to you know, one of our biggest clients is the NHS. So we work with lots of corporate clients, really. So, we're really lucky that we cover the wide range of that. And then to answer your question, what we're selling into them, and I'd like to keep it really simple, what we really pride ourselves on, and I pride myself on, is that old adage that I'm sure you're both aware of, is keep it simple, stupid, really. And I think in our business, people try to complicate it quite a lot, and ultimately it's not that complicated. So we start, if you like, with a smaller business. We supply what you might call virtual numbers. So if you're a plumber, baker, candlestick maker, and you're using a mobile phone on your website, really you want to just have a appeal to a wider audience, look like you're a bit more established, and have a virtual number that you can route through to, you know, several different numbers and not miss a call.
Is that a popular service still, Keith?
Oh, I mean, still to this day, you know, I think our customers now are at sort of 19,000 customers. I haven't got the exact figures, but two-thirds of those would be smaller businesses, because very much the business mentality at the very start was they were ignored, those sort of people. You know, people were always chasing the sexy clients, you know, and we felt that and still to this day are ignored to a great deal, you know, that
yeah.
no one was that interested in those smaller types. So deliberately we targeted that business.
You're right, aren't you? Back in the day, certainly, if a tradesperson had just a mobile phone or a generic web address, for instance, you know, like Yahoo yeah. or something, people didn't give them any credibility. They go, one man band. It's not quite the same now, but, you know, because a lot of us now just don't use landlines at all anymore, and you just call us on our mobile.
When my landline rings, I think somebody's died, you know. Very rarely rings now.
It's always me mum or a scam.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's me mum with a scam.
The PPI calls have drawn.
My mum does. She rings me up. She says, I'm from Microsoft. I need you to open Windows. it's interesting.
I think it's really exciting and really interesting, because you can also imagine as well, if as we found out during this pandemic, you know, the smaller businesses, the sole traders are the backbone of
they've been the troopers.
They are. And what I would say my team say to our sort of clients is, if you can imagine, you know, if you're a builder, I don't know what I've just had a little of an extension built really, and it wasn't cheap. Let me tell you, but you'd be amazed how many calls they miss. So they advertise, and then they miss a call, you know, and that call could be what, I don't know, 20 grand to 100 grand for a builder or whatever it might be. So what we're saying about the numbers, not only does it give you more credibility, but you can have a little virtual receptionist with it that might say, you know, welcome to XYZ Builders. The call comes through, but more importantly, if they miss the call, again, there's something that might say, welcome, your call is really important to us. Currently, we're busy with customers. We'll endeavour to come back to you within 3 hours. And then clients leave a message. Rather than go to a mobile voicemail, it sounds professional. It sounds like you care what you do.
Yeah.
People leave a message and they tend to win more business. And it's our job at that smaller level, because it's in our interest, of course, that they expand, to give as much help and advice as we can to make their businesses work. You know, it's not about us, it's about them. And if they're successful, then we're successful, you know. So
absolutely. Do you know, it's a funny thing. I'm involved with the Federation of Small Business. And in fact, that lovely organisation sponsored this radio show. Right. And they did a survey about 2 years ago now. And amazingly, they found that 72% of small businesses and micro businesses, self-employed people, have no digital presence. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So they don't have no website. They don't have a business Facebook page or LinkedIn page. They have personal ones, but they don't have business ones. And they weren't using digital technology to help their business. And what you've just described is an entry level to digital technology that is a massive help to someone's business just by doing that, having a professional answering service on your phone. So I get entirely why, you know, you've got 19,000 customers doing it, because quite rightly, and in Kent alone there's 144,000 of them, so the rest of them need to get on board as well.
But that's the thing, if you're a plumber or a builder, you're hands on, you know, you've got your hand down a toilet or you're up on a roof, you cannot be answering your mobile phone. So you know, it is all about the customer experience as well, the other end.
So Keith, run us over the other telecom services that you also supply.
Yeah, okay. So if I do it in sort of range of what clients know, so then if we move up, if you like, to the SME market, if you like, the small managed owner businesses, they're taking a range of services. You know, we like to be a one-stop shop, if you like. But it's good for our client, and of course I'd be a fibber if it's not good for us as well. You know, I've always been a proponent of the more you do for someone, the more unlikely it is they're going to move elsewhere, you know. So.
Yeah.
That type of business would start normally with maybe a broadband connection or a mobile phone, for example, a mobile phone SIM. So they start at that sort of level. They might want a phone system installed as they grow. And funny enough, a percentage of the smaller ones we start with in terms of the small owner managed sort of Soho businesses, they grow to SMEs as well. That's the good thing about the business model. But we're looking at that, phone systems, broadbands, mobiles, those sorts of things. Maybe we get involved sometimes with the data for them. You know, they might want some 365 installed, those sorts of things, some networking done. So we might do that. But what I find at that level is really interesting is you know, most people are a bit confused about how to do it, how to get to the next level, what they should be doing. You know, they're bombarded with loads of different information from different providers. And our job is just to go, you know, what I often say to people, that we've got a blank bit of paper here. What must you have? What should you have? And what could you have in the future? And let's just work to then, and let me tell you how we can do it. And then let's talk about costs around now. And I think that's really important. Rather than walking in with your own agenda and talking about, you know, because we've got this particular product that's maybe got a better margin, rather than trying to impose that on people, I think if people start to trust you and you've got their interests at heart, then that reaps benefits.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And of course, where we are now, both in business and in our personal lives, telecoms and telecom systems now play a massive role in everything we do. You know, the numbers of mobile telephony users are unbelievable.
Yeah.
In the UK, it's 98%. But I used to do a statistic about Africa. Yeah, in Africa, right. In sub-Saharan Africa, the population is 1 billion people, and there are 980 million mobile phones in operation. Yeah, so yeah, almost everybody in Africa has got a mobile phone as well. So they're ubiquitous across the planet, and we've now become addicted to our mobile phones. But the thing about that is we then move that on and we use that in all kinds of ways. So the mobile phone is not just a communicating device, it's also a computer and all the rest of it. And all of that relies on telecoms, you know, from the cellular to the fixed broadband to fixed line, everything is about telecoms.
Every listener will know when your broadband goes down, it's like your legs being cut off, isn't it?
Yeah,
if you're trying to work from home, it's did you ever do without broadband?
It's a really interesting point, Jules. I'll just come back to in a minute a point Paul made, but on what you've just said there, and it's a bit of an educational piece around broadband as well, because the thing is, everyone's been so used to spending a very little money on broadband, really. Do you understand? You know, I often say to my clients, your coffee bill is more than your broadband every month.
Yeah.
You know, and what happened is, at the very beginning, broadband started running over what we call, without being so technical, the old copper system, which was devised just for phone calls, not for running data over. And a lot of the country have still got their broadband running over that. But what businesses are doing now is, of course, they're running their telephone system, they're running their accounting system, they're running, everything over their broadband connection, which is, you know, they're not investing that much money in. And we talk to people all the time about, you need to have some backup in place for this.
Yeah.
You know, you need to maybe upgrade the system you're using for this, because if it goes down, what's going to happen, isn't it?
You're stuck, yeah.
Yeah, it's an educational piece, because when people have been sold something reasonably cheaply that's maybe not fit for purpose anymore, it's very difficult having a conversation with somebody you should be paying a bit more. But I come at it a different way now. I look at it, I break it down per employee sometimes, you know, for people. I say you've got 8 employees, you know, if you invested an extra £2 per employee for a month, they'd have super fast broadband with this backup in place. You know, do you think that's a good investment? Again, it's probably less than your coffee bill every month, really.
Yeah.
and it's the thing you're running the business off. Going back, Paul, to your point on the mobiles, I think it's really interesting. You'd be aware that, you know, that in 2025, BT are due to turn off the broadband, the PSTN, well, not the broadband, but the PSTN network, and how we currently run our phones and broadband connections. So that's dependent on fibre rollout being across the country. Whether COVID's got in the way of that, I'm not sure. But COVID has sped that process up a little bit. So what we've seen a big uptake in now is, you can have a mobile app on your phone now, which is your landline. It shows a landline number. You take and make your calls through your mobile. We call it pocket landline. But, you know, I see that people might have their landlines on their mobiles. From now on. Why wouldn't you?
Exactly.
Connection. We see it. as a really interesting market, really, for people.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And voice over IP and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
In our radio studio, our phones are all voice over IP phones. Funnily enough, this was a pure accident. We got it for particular reasons, but it turned out the quality of voice over IP was far superior to a fixed landline in terms of recording radio shows. So, you're right, Keith. There's lots of movement still to come. I just want to come back to something. Again, another funny personal story. Do you know what? I 100% agree with you about what people are expecting and what they're prepared to pay for their broadband. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would willingly pay a lot of money for decent broadband where I am.
Are you on key? Sign him up quick.
You know, but I'm going to tell you a very quick story. I live in a very rural area and I've got old copper wires and they just don't work. I mean, I get rubbish broadband.
Probably because your pheasant chews through them.
Yeah, probably. But so a couple of years ago, I went to BT. I tried a few other companies, but I went to BT and I said, look, I don't care what it costs, I want something. And they came up with a thing called GSM. I don't know if you're familiar with that. Yeah, which is basically, it was 400 quid a month for this GSM.
Yeah.
They came, they drilled holes through my wall, they put a box on the wall, they went away for 6 months. I then got an email saying, the special router's stuck in India. And then 8 months after that, they emailed me and said, we can't provide this service.
That's terrible.
That's nonsense. Yeah, but you're right. But the principle is you're right, Keith. You know, and this is where it becomes a problem. I've got a lot of businesses and I've got a lot of offices, but I predominantly work from home.
And now,
but I always did. I always did. And my broadband is appalling. And I need it better. Yeah, and I will pay. I just got to find someone to provide it that, you know, okay, people say, well, get a lease line or, you know, whatever, and, you know, only $4,000 a month or whatever, but, you know, there's a balance to it.
Well, if I can just come in there, because there's an opportunity there, and an old salesman like me is not going to...
Yeah, don't want to miss an opportunity.
Hang on, he's got his pen out.
So clearly I'll come back to you on your own broadband. But also, what I'd like to say about the lease line, though, and it's not for everyone, and for listeners that don't know, a lease line, if you like, is like the Rolls Royce of connectivity. It's a direct connection from your location to the exchange. You get uncontended broadband connection up and down, and you guarantee your speeds and your bandwidth. However, what I was going to say, though, the prices have dropped now to a level on that where it's becoming affordable for... Maybe not, you know, depending on your business, maybe not a sole trader, but we're seeing circuits going now for 200, 225 quid a month,
which becomes
a little bit more affordable for people, you know, in terms of when they weigh up. Still seems a lot of money, I appreciate that, but if you're running an office with, you know, I don't know, 5-10 people in it and you need to guarantee your connectivity, you break that down to 50 quid a week, you break that down to your employee, it's 20 quid a week. Or whatever, or even 10 quid a week, then you start looking at it and thinking it's worth my investment in time and money, you know, to do it. But not for everyone, but we are seeing that the market in there has increased significantly as price drops, of course, you know.
No, absolutely. And I think the message is that there are options, yeah?
Yeah.
And, you know, when all of this first started, your option was you rang up BT and got an ADSL line.
Yeah.
They then liberalised it a little bit, and you got a BT ADSL line, but provided by somebody else.
By
a wholesaler. But you know, this is where it all gets confusing, isn't it? Because you go and look around the market for different suppliers of broadband, but in fact, it's all coming over the same cable the same distribution point. And it all has the same issues, basically.
Where I live in Whitstable, from my kitchen, I can always see the Openreach. They're always there digging up stuff and in the same place as a little exchange must be there. They're there practically every day in the rain and the wind. So what are they doing?
What they should be doing is installing fibre into Whitstable, whether they are or not. I'm not sure.
They're... I've seen some boxes of Band-Aid around.
they're just repairing, aren't they? It's interesting brands, isn't it? Well, you know, when I first became involved in the business, I used to come across that all the time. It was really difficult for us because, you know, if you're heading up an IT department in a company, it's a simple thing to go with BT, isn't it? Because if something goes wrong, you say, I use BT, what do you want me to do? That's got less and less as our clients have grown and we've got more credibility. That's got less and less of a problem. But it still is a problem. That's why people invest that millions, billions of pounds in their brand, isn't it? They're the first people you go to.
It's like computing back in my day. The saying was nobody ever got fired for buying IBM. I don't think it's quite as endemic as that now, but it certainly used to be with BT. But the thing is, there are more options available now. Here I've used things like microwave, for instance.
Is that for your dinner?
I cooked my dinner and got the recipe online at the same time.
That's where his hair went.
And there's satellite comms and all. There are different ways of doing things now. There's what do they call it? Wi-Fi Max and all
Wi-Fi,
that.
So
there are different ways, and people do experiment with that, especially those of us that live in rural settings where the connections aren't good because, quite frankly, the infrastructure is just not there. It's just a bunch of rubbishy old copper.
But even now, where we're all working from home, just watching telly, you can tell when all my neighbours are on Netflix or whatever. I get a little sign on my telly saying your signal is weak, and I go, "What? Used to be fine,
Do you know what? I had exactly that last night. I was right in the middle of doing something on my computer.
Drives me nuts.
And all of a sudden, it went, and I screamed to Amanda, "Turn off Netflix!" And she went, "How do you know I was watching it? And my computer slowed down."
But it's bad, and I need to knock on my neighbour's door and say, "Excuse me, can you just stop watching something because I want to watch
it." it's frustrating, isn't it? There's a couple of points there. I think where the big brands sort of playing to our hands a little bit is they don't answer the bloody phone, do they? They're telecoms part of the company, and no one can get them on the phone, so we find that really, really, really matters for people, that they have direct lines to come through and speak to people. I think there's that. Also at home now, as you suffer, there's loads of choices. We've done quite a lot of 4G connectivity at home through a router for people to work. Using your examples there, you'd work off the 4G router. Why, when people are then on Netflix, it doesn't really affect you because you've got that on sort of a separate network. So as long as you've got a good mobile connection, you can plug a few things into that and be running off that.
I think as a customer, we're all busy, and what would be lovely is if we had a comparison thing. I'm sure they exist, where you can see, prices and strengths and everything, and you could actually make a choice. Does that exist?
I think what Keith just said is the most important point of all of this, I agree with him 100%. The problem is with big corporates such as BT or even Vodafone or, O2 or whoever you're dealing with, it's that disconnect from the customer. Most customers aren't technically competent. We don't know. We're reliant on them to tell us.
Yeah.
And it's incredibly difficult having a conversation with them.
Exactly.
They don't answer the phone, or if they do, it's some call center that goes, computer say no or whatever. What you want is someone that you can ask questions of.
Like Keith.
Daft questions. It's one of my favourite things, actually, asking daft questions. And you wouldn't believe, Paul, the amount of meetings I've sat in at a level with all sorts of cleverer people than me that talking what I consider might be. I won't say on radio what I might consider, but I asked all the questions. I don't understand. Can you explain that to me?
Well, jargon.
And most of the time, not most of the time, some of the time, they can't explain it to me.
Because they don't know either.
But it is when you go in and upgrade your phone, they'll go, what do you need? And, for example, Vodafone, who I'm with and don't particularly like, but I'm with them because of the signal. I'm on the seafront. And I'll go in and I'll say, they'll go, how many minutes, how many data, how many blah, blah. And I'll go, what did I have last year? And they won't, they can't tell me. They don't even, they can't, you know, so I have to scrabble about. You just want someone to tell you if you're not geeky like me. I'm not techie or geeky.
Yeah, it's one of the things they put in our proposals for people is, you know, we take the pain out of telecoms.
Yeah.
Really. For that reason, Jules, you just said, really, you know, I think the market's changing a little bit. I think more and more people, and we're an e-commerce business. You know, we started as an e-commerce business, but more and more people do want to speak to people now. Okay. Now whether that'll change when my children, like, who are 17 or 18, who never speak to anyone on the phone, get to any level in business, I'm not sure. But at the moment, we're seeing phone calls increasing across our customers, you know, because obviously we see call volume. It's part of what we look at. We're seeing more phone calls, people coming in. People actually want to speak to someone, be reassured, have the hand held a little bit.
Absolutely.
Through the process. And that, I'd have to say, that's whether you're spending 20 quid a month or 2,000 quid a month. The same thing applies, really. You know, it's just sometimes you just need a little bit of advice and your hand held a little bit, really.
Absolutely. And from a business point of view, Keith, it's also important because it enables you to upsell in the nicest possible way. And what I mean by that is, if I go to a big organisation and I go, I just want my broadband to work. I just want it to work every day. What do I do? And you end up on a website that just gives you four standard options. And when you click on it, there's a caveat that says, we're offering you all this, but it might not work. And you go, but if I can talk to someone who would go, I'll tell you what you want to do. You want to get one of these attached to one of those over there. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because you're then finding out what problem it is I'm trying to solve. Whereas most of the big corporates are just generic websites, you know, do you want fiber? Yeah. And do you want more than 10 megabits? We guarantee you 50 megabits. And then in small writing, it says, well, we don't really. We only guarantee you 8. But and all that
so
kind
what
of stuff.
Are you actually getting?
Yeah. But it's not just about speed and stuff like that. It's what it is you're trying to do. And, you know, by talking to someone that knows what they're talking about, I feel you get a better solution. Even if that costs you a few pounds more, yeah. It's a solution that suits what you're trying to do. And that's what goes wrong, I think.
I think you're exactly right. And it's interesting you mentioned the money word. It's like the old 80-20 rule, isn't it? I think 80% of people will pay a couple of quid more for, you know, costs costs are an issue. At whatever level we deal with, costs are part of the conversation. But also, it's like buying anything in your household, isn't it? You know, sometimes you go for the cheapest one if it doesn't make any difference. But often we don't go for the cheapest option because it does make a difference. All you have to be able to do is justify that difference, you know, and then people are want to pay for it. And, you know, that takes us quite nice, I suppose, into the third level of customer we work with, which would be the corporates, you know, the government agencies, the NHS, those sorts of people. And, you know, we've taken a great deal of pleasure in the work we've done with the NHS, really, over this period. You know, we've done special rates, we've done short-term agreements to help people convert to a remote environment. We've got two COVID helplines going live tomorrow for NHS staff to phone into and get support for.
Wow, that's brilliant.
And things like that. And it's, you know, that's been fantastic. And, you know, being involved in that has been a great pleasure. And, of course, it's interesting stuff to work on as well. You know, we all want to go work and be interested. Working across those brands, whether it be big building companies, you know, big IT companies, whatever it be, it's been really, really interesting. We do quite a lot of stuff in the city now. I've got a great – so I can't mention any names at any moment, but a case study where we've done some stuff last week where we won some a work where the Vodafone bill was 38 grand a month. Okay. Our bill got it down to 18 grand a month.
Wow.
Plus a different level of support, you know. So that sort of stuff's really exciting. You know, really, really interesting to work with. So we're so blessed. And I want to make this clear as well, Junior. I know some businesses are really having a difficult time out there. You know, although I might consider we're really good at what we do, we've also been very fortunate that, you know, we're in a business which people You know, we're not a chain of 20 restaurants, are we? We're in a business where people need our help at the moment. You know?
Absolutely. Keith, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker show. If people want to find out about Telecom World, what's your website address?
Okay, so our website address is www.telecomsworld.com. Is that our website address?
That's with an S, so it's telecoms.
Comms, that's plural. Yeah. Thank you, Jules, for clearing that up. Yes, yeah, it is with an S.
So, you can say it beautifully.
it's my London vows, isn't it?
Well, I'm an Essex girl, so and then on Twitter you can find Keith Bird and Telecoms World at Telecoms with an S World.
And also, if you want to contact me directly by any of the points, even if it's to give a bit of advice, I'm more than happy to do that. It's just keith@telecomsworld.com. keith@telecomsworld.com.
Fantastic. Keith, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure talking to you. Stay safe. Enjoy the rest of your day.
We'll do. And of course, I'll be following up your broadband requirements as well.
Yeah. Of course you will. Okay. Of course you will.
Good. You take care, both of you, won't you? Stay healthy.
Bye, Keith. Thank you.
Bye.
Flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Locke Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
This is Channel 2.
Welcome back. That was Keith Bird there of Telecom World, talking about the whole world of telecoms, technology infrastructure, broadband and so on. And in a world where we're going to work from home more and more, by the looks of it, we really do need to start investing as a country in far better infrastructure, in my humble opinion. I've had a few tweets about that interview already. I'll read a couple of them out. Athel Bray have said, really interesting Business Bunker interview with Keith from Telecoms World about investing in your broadband. We're always surprised when businesses think increasing your upgrade for the best possible service is a cost rather than an investment. Absolutely. I mean, we're all totally dependent on technology these days. Absolutely dependent on technology. You can't do anything. You can't send money. You can't look at your bank account. You can't do anything without technology. So, as I said during the interview, I would certainly willingly pay a few more pounds for a service that actually worked and actually was reliable. And that, for me, that's my biggest issue. One, where I am at home, it's not very good. But even that isn't reliable because it dips and it troughs as they contend and share out and as people in the local area come online for watching TV in the evening and stuff like that. So, I totally agree. Tracy Ferguson has also input to the conversation. She said, I've had to increase my broadband cost to do workshops. To me, it's an investment in my delivery and most importantly for the customer experience, especially at the moment when everyone is online. Absolutely right, Tracy. Again, you know, we, as Keith said in the interview, we don't like spending money. It's not that we want to give money away, but what we do want to do is pay for something that does what we need it to do. And that's the key thing for me, I think. It's getting something that does what it's supposed to do, and then you don't feel so bad about what you have to pay for it, within reason. But anyway, do check it out. Do check out telecomsworld.co.uk or telecomsworld.com, actually. Telecomsworld.com. Have a look at their website, see what they do, see all the range of telecom services they provide, and have a look. Keith's already been on to me about my broadband at home, so we'll see what he's got to say about that, and I'll let you know. We're fast approaching the time for the news, but do keep your tweets coming. We've still got quite a few tweets coming in, and I've got a lot of emails and stuff to read. So let me just read a couple of those while we're doing this. We have a blog. I was talking about our blogs earlier. We've got a blog about all the grants and furlough schemes that are available currently. And nearly all of them, apart from furlough, obviously, but everything else, all the grants and loans and everything else, are delivered through local authorities. So we've put up a blog that lists all the local authorities in Kent and Medway, plus a link to their website pages that are specifically about grants and payments and support. And you can find that. So it's a listing of every council in Kent and Medway and their web pages concerning grants. And you can go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/rs-grants. RS-grants. Just a word of warning, if you're trying to get the latest grant money, quite a few of the websites, when you go there, they say, we don't know. And that's because the government announced this, but they haven't actually sent any money or given the local authorities any criteria against which to award it. Some of the local authorities are a bit more advanced than others because they've managed to find out, or they've taken it on themselves to just give out money or whatever decision they've made. So just be wary of that. But it's worth going to your local website, wherever your business is based, and lodging a request to get grants to help you if your business is suffering as a result of the lockdown. So do check that out. The Construction Southeast Awards 2021. How would you like to have award-winning next to the name of your business? We want to recognise the achievements, developments and innovations of construction companies based in the southeast of England. The application process is quick and easy, and it is free to enter. You can find out more about the Construction Southeast Awards 2021, and you can also start your entry by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk and then clicking on the tab that says Business Events at the top on the homepage of the website, Business Events. In there is a link for you to apply, find out more, and find out what it's all about. So do check that out, the Construction Southeast Awards 2021. And what else have we got? HMRC. You can now submit your claims under the Coronavirus Job Retention Scheme for periods in December. These must be made by the 14th of January. So we're too late now, aren't we? So we won't bother with that. We've kind of missed that. So let's go for a tweet instead. Kent Space Gran. that's the Twitter handle, Kent Space Gran. Give Gran a follow on the Twitter. Can you give a shout out to the Kent Space team for doing such an amazing job providing a safe space for people to work if they can't work from home? I certainly can. Here at Kent Space in Ashford, Vicky and the team have been absolutely brilliant. Kent Space have spaces in Chatham and Ebbsfleet too. Fantastic. They've really, really gone the extra 10 miles to help us all of those of us that are based in their shared office space and also their storage facilities. So a huge shout out to all the teams at Kent Space for a fantastic job they're doing. And we've had a bit of a laugh here this morning because they've been testing the emergency lights and the fire alarms. So far we've managed to avoid the fire alarms going off while we're on air, but who knows what will happen in the second half of the show. Tracy Ann Barker's been on. Have a fabulous show, guys. Not able to listen live, but I will be listening on the catch up later. Well, thank you, Tracy Ann. You can follow Tracy Ann on Twitter, Tabba, TABA underscore official on Twitter. I was telling you earlier, Martin from Charity Buddy was talking about the perils of homeschooling. He's tweeted again. He says, we're on a proper go slow today. I know the feeling, mate. I really do. And the lovely Zinat Narani has been on Friday, 11 a.m. Mindset Matters show. She's going to be talking to three guests. She's got Darren Wheel, Christine Atkinson, and Mike Oldham. And they're talking about moving forward and how Rotary 8 London Borough of Bromley is supporting people back into work. So do check that out here on channelradio.co.uk/2, Friday, 11 a.m, The Mindset Matters Show with Zinat Narani. I think it's time for us to join the Channel Radio newsroom. What do you think? Let's go over to the news, and then when we come back, we've got another fantastic guest to talk to you, and I also managed to catch up with Jules. So let's hear what the news is happening.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
You're listening to Channel Radio.